بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون، كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله، وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, last week we had discussed our aqaid, our beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. And just one point of clarification, we had mentioned لا نفرق بين أحد منهم, that when it comes to the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam, we don't make any distinction. Every single Nabi of Allah from Adam alayhi salam till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wholeheartedly we believe in them, we accept them, we understand that they were the selected and chosen messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, we learn in the third juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. That despite us believing in all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, amongst the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, Allah has given them varying degrees and ranks. And we know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest, the most virtuous, the best of all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. So we believe in each and every one of them. We do not reject or deny or belie any of them. But at the same time, we also understand and acknowledge that Allah has given them varying ranks. Starting with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, then you have the ulul azmi min ar-rusul, the high ranking Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. And thereafter, the remaining Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. So amongst them, there are these ranks. But collectively, no other non-Nabi is able to reach the rank of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Nevertheless, moving forward in today's lesson, we will be discussing, inshallah, our aqaid and beliefs regarding the malaika and the jinnat. The malaika, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khuliqatil malaikatu min nur. The malaika, the angels, a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created from nur, from light. وَخُلِقَتِ الْجَانِ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارِ. The jinnat are also a creation of Allah, and they have been created from a smokeless fire. وَخُلِقَتِ الْإِنسَانِ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. And insan, human beings, have been created from that which has been described in the Qur'an. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. From clay or from sand, Allah created insan, created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So what do we believe regarding the malaika? Why do we believe in the malaika, the angels? There is a very lengthy narration which is known as Hadith of Jibreel. The Hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is the narrator. And he explains, one day we were sitting with Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ. When a man appeared, شَدِيدُ بَيَاضِ الثِّيَابِ, with immaculate pristine white clothing, شَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ, jet black hair, لا يرى عليه أثر السفر. His appearance was so neat and clean that the effects of travel were not seen on him. In those days, traversing the desert, a person would become disheveled. So no effects of travel were seen on him. But at the same time, لا يعرفه منا أحد. None of us residents of Medina recognized him. He was not a stranger, no traveling. At the same time, he wasn't a resident. So he came and he sat before Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. He sat in tashahud position until his knees met the knees of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then he began to ask questions. So the first thing he asks, Mal Islam? Then what is Islam? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam proceeds to explain to him, An tu'min an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa tuqima as-salah wa tu'tiya az-zakah wa tasuma Ramadan wa tahujja al-bayta in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. These pillars of Islam. When he explains this to him, this person then says, Sadaqta, that you have spoken the truth. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ. We were amazed that this person is asking a question and then he is affirming the answer. Nevertheless, he went on to ask the next question, مَا الْإِيمَانِ. What is Iman all about? What should a person believe in? So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ, that you believe in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ. And the second thing he mentions, that you believe in the malaika, the angels. And thereafter, a few other tenets of faith have been mentioned in that very same narration. So from here we understand the importance of Iman bil Malaika. We have to believe in the Malaika, in this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Towards the end of the narration, Nabi alayhi salam asks Umar radiallahu anhu, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنِ السَّائِلِ. Do you know who was this person? So he says, O Nabi of Allah, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his Nabi know best. It says, ذَاكَ جِبْرِيل. This was Jibreel. أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He came to teach you your deen. By means of this Q&A, he caused me to mention the answers so that you who are seated here can benefit and learn about deen, about iman, about Islam, about ihsan. Nevertheless, regarding the malaika, ulama have explained the wisdom behind the creation of the malaika. As we mentioned last week, the wisdom behind the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam is to guide people, to bring people back to the straight path. As people began to stray from the teachings of Allah, Allah would send the Nabi to remind them that this is what Allah wants from you. Worship one Allah. Do not worship anything besides Allah. What is the wisdom behind creating the malaika? Ulama explain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to display His qudrat and His power. For us to understand and realize the great power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that I have been given permission, the hadith of Abu Dawood, I have been given permission to describe to you just one angel from those who are carrying the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here ulama have explained, there's difference of opinion, but some have mentioned that currently there are four angels who are holding the throne of Allah aloft, and on the day of Qiyamah Allah will add another four to them, making a total of eight. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam describes this one angel, and he just gives one quality or one attribute of this angel. He explains that from the earlobe to the shoulder of this one angel is a distance or a journey of 700 years. A person had to ride for 700 years on horseback, traveling in a straight line. Then only after 700 years will he cross the distance from the earlobe to the shoulder of this one angel. In another narration, Nabi alayhi salam mentions about Jibreel alayhi salam, that one wing of his covers the entire horizon. And then Nabi alayhi salam says, لَهُ سِتُّ مِئَةِ جَنَاحِ. He has 600 of these wings. So this, ulama explained that these descriptions have been given to us for us to understand the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not where it ends, but rather Allah explains regarding these great angels who are so mighty, so powerful, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. Allah says, عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ غِلَاظٌ شِدَادٌ. They are very strong, they are robust, they are powerful, but they are unable to disobey even one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. Whatever Allah commands them to do, immediately they carry it out. When it comes to you and I, a person may have a very strong workforce below him. Under his care, his control, his supervision, he has so many workers, and at just the press of a button, he can have so many people coming to him and carrying out tasks for him. But no person can sleep at night with 100% yaqeen, conviction, certainty that they won't turn against me. He's still worried. He still has CCTV cameras in his shop that they mustn't steal from me, they mustn't do me down or stab me in the back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these powerful, strong angels, but Allah does not have to fear that they will disobey me. They will not carry out my command. Or I'll have to make sure that the work is done. I'll have to double check or appoint someone to oversee them. Rather, every single thing that Allah commands them to do, immediately they carry it out. So Allah created these angels to display His qudrat and His power. And therefore, it is important for us to have complete and total iman and belief upon them. The munafiqeen, we find the hypocrites, they would doubt the existence of the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks about the number of angels who are the gatekeepers of Jahannam. So Allah says, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ. The gatekeepers of Jahannam, we have made them angels, and we have appointed 19 of them. So when this verse was revealed, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, began to mock at the Quran. That, did Allah forget one? Why would you put 19 instead of 20? This doesn't make sense. No person will do this. And there was one person who went to this extent, that he would make a joke and say to his companions, that listen, on the day of Qiyamah, I am a strong person. So these 19 so-called angels who are there, I'll take care of 17 of them, and the rest of you take care of two of them, and we'll destroy them or we'll defeat them, and in this way we'll escape from Jahannam and we won't be punished. So they would make it something to mock at, to jeer at, to scoff at. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding this says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ إِلَّا مَلَائِكَ وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عِدَّتَهُمْ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. This number 19, we deliberately placed this number as a fitna, as a trial for the disbelievers. But those who were given the book, لِيَسْتَيْقِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. The people of the book will have further yaqeen and conviction that the Quran is true. Because we found this mentioned in the previous scriptures as well. وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا. The people of Iman will increase in their faith and belief. So despite the number perhaps not making sense to us, and likewise the description and the attributes of these angels not making sense to us, we still have to wholeheartedly believe upon the verses of Quran. And that is why ulama explained the attack against Iman, against Aqaid, against belief is something that commenced from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and will continue till the time of Dajjal. Shaitan will continue looking for avenues and looking for ways to contaminate the belief system, the aqaid of a person. We find our youngsters growing up, they read fairy tales. And in there they will read about some fairy that has wings and that is white in color. And as they grow up, they realize that, you know what, this was just a fairy tale. It was something that was not true. There's no reality to it. There is no such a thing like this. So we are not saying that the angels are fairies. But it should not be that our iman, our belief is only on that which is logical and sensible to us. Now the child grows up and he realizes that to have some creature like this that flies around and that can do magic and do things like this without any outer cause, this is not possible, it's not logical, therefore I don't believe in it. But for us, in the verse I recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The sifats, the attribute of people of iman, unlike what we see today. Today we find the slogan that seeing is believing. Seeing is believing. A person has to see it with his own eyes. It has to make sense to him, then only should he believe in it. But Allah says for a believer, for a person of iman, hearing is believing. Sami'ana. We heard what Allah and His Rasul have said, وَأَطَعْنَا, and we obeyed them. We accepted what they had to say to us, and we brought iman upon it. This is known as iman bil ghayb. A person believes in the unseen, that which he cannot see, that which doesn't even make sense to him. But he has complete and total iman upon this. In fact, ulama explained to this extent, our belief, and this is just a gauge for myself, for yourself, to see how far we are. That our iman in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam should be so strong, that it is stronger than what I see with my own eyes. A person is reading salah, and we have been taught that when we make salam at the end of salah, then when we turn to the right, then we should intend, if the imam is to our right hand side, then we intend him in our salam. With that, the musallis who are to our right hand side, and with that, the righteous and pious angels and jinnat, who also frequent the jamaat salah in the masjid. Ulama have written, explained, that if a person turns to his right, when he makes salam to terminate his salah, and he sees Ibrahim sitting next to him, and he knows him, he can recognize him, he knows exactly how he looks, and he won't doubt for even one moment that Ibrahim is sitting next to me. The person should have even more yaqeen and conviction that the angels are also here. In fact, if somebody had to say to him, that what do you have more belief and conviction upon? The presence of the angels or the presence of Ibrahim next to you? Then his iman should be such, I have more yaqeen and conviction that the angels are here. Why? Because Ibrahim being here is something that my eyes have said to me. This is how I derive the information, the knowledge. But the malaika being present, this is something that Allah and His Rasul have said to me. There can be absolutely no doubt whatsoever in this. So this is the level that our iman, our yaqeen, our conviction should be upon the malaika. Then ulama have explained the different tasks and functions of these angels. Some are there to strike the clouds, which will then cause a storm and cause rainfall. Some are there to take out the soul of insan, the angel of death. There are some whose duty it is merely to convey the commands of Allah from the highest heaven to the lowest heaven. And this is then distributed amongst the remaining angels to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have those angels who are deputed to look after insan, who are known as hafadha. وَيُرُسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ hafadha. When a person reads his du'as, his adhkar, morning and evening du'as, Allah appoints these angels to protect him, to take care of him, to ensure that no harm comes to him. Together with that we have the angels who record the deeds of insan. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. Allah says that they are those protective angels who are deputed over you, كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. And here also, just one point for us to note, many of us have learnt that the name or the names of these angels are kiram and katibin. This is not correct. Kiram and katibin is their attribute, their sifat, their description. Kiram means noble, katibin means scribes. So Allah says there are these angels who are hafidin, who are deputed to protect you. Kiraman, they are noble angels. Katibin, and they are scribes. What their exact names are, that we have not been told. But this is their description. So like this, we have different tasks. And just as we mentioned last week regarding the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah has not told us about every single Nabi and the incidents and lives of every Nabi. Likewise, Allah has not told us about the names and the functions and the tasks of every angel. We believe in all of them who are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those whom we know about, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, those whose names appear in Quran and Hadith. Of course, we then believe in those. But holistically, we believe in all the Mara'ika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah has created the jinnat. The jinn, this topic, many a times when we hear the word jinn, for the first thing we do, make sure the lights are on. Because we get very afraid that these jinnat have some power over us and they can harm us. Yes, Allah has given them to an extent some degree of advantage over insan, that we cannot see them and they can see us. But in reality, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam put our minds at ease. That Allah has given us two layers of protection. The first layer of protection Allah has given us is our clothing. When a person wears a garment that covers his awra, his satr, his private part, those portions that nobody is supposed to see, then Allah makes this a barrier that prevents the jinnat from looking at his private parts and interfering with him. This has been mentioned in the riwayat. And then the question came about that what about when a person relieves himself, he goes into the toilet, and that is a place notorious, known for the presence of jinnat or evil shayateen. So the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, satru ma bayna a'yunil jinn wa awrati bani adam, that the second level of concealment between the eyes of the jinn and the private parts of bani adam, of insan, idha dakhala ahaduhum al-khala, when a person enters the toilet, an yaqula bismillah, that he takes the name of Allah. And the ulama explain also the famous dua when entering the toilet. We learnt it in maktab, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. But correct is for us to read bismillah at the start. Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. From the riwayat we learn this recitation of bismillah will become a replacement of the garment. We are now going to take off our garment to relieve ourselves, to take a bath, a ghusl. So Allah will still create some layer of concealment that will not allow these jinnat to affect a person. It's important, especially when it comes to our masturat, the women folk, especially those who are going through their haid, nifas, postnatal bleeding, when they are more prone to the attack of jinnat, Allah has given us these solutions. Read the dua. Our young children entering the bathroom, ensure they have their hair covered, the young girls, the young boys, and they enter with their left foot, recite these duas. Then inshallah, ulama explain, our children inshallah will be saved from nightmares. They'll sleep, have a good sound sleep at night. Allah will not allow these jinnat to affect them. And here also ulama have explained regarding the jinnat, they are also mukallaf, they are also obliged to bring iman. And on the day of qiyamah, Allah will also question them. Some of them will also go to jannah, some will go to jahannam. So it is not that they have been given free rein. They are also supposed to abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore we should not unnecessarily fear them. Many a times a person, some small sickness that comes to him, something goes wrong in the business, at home, in the marriage, and immediately a person says it must be the effect of some sihar, some black magic, some jinn, some jadu. On one hand, we don't negate this. Al-aynu haqqun, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, spoke about the effect of nazar, the effect of jealousy. We know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself at one point in his life was affected by the jinnat as well. So we don't negate it. But at the same time, we should not become so gullible that everything that happens in our life, we immediately attribute to this. Ulama explained, rather, many a times, the biggest jadu or sihr a person is doing on himself. How? Mashayikh give the example that you enter the lounge of a person and he has beautiful calligraphy, Ayatul Kursi. That frame is put up on his wall. Or he has the final sermon of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the three quls, written in beautiful Arabic. And everybody marvels at this frame, but just beneath it, now hung on the wall, is the big screen. And there's nudity, there's lewdness, there's swearing, there's vulgarity. So he's got positive energy and negative energy. If the two will mix, then there will have to be an explosion. So many a times the negativity that is created within our lives, or within our marriages, when it comes to our children, when it comes to our businesses, is because of some guna and sin that we are doing. It is not necessarily somebody has done something to me. or some jinn has affected me. We believe in them, they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah has given us the solution. Our morning du'as, evening du'as, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fil sama' wa huwa sami'u al-alim. Sunday morning, Mawlana reads the morning du'as. Every one of us should try and learn this. You know, our green kitabs also, we find these du'as have been all mentioned there. These are the du'as for protection. It will take us 2-3 minutes in the morning to read them. But like this, Allah will give us protection from these evil effects. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.